our heart's desire is that you will go completely and totally after Jesus. Discover how amazingly awesome he is. Beyond description, beyond words, beyond anything this world could ever offer. There is no comparison. Like Paul the Apostle had it all going for him. He said it's all trash compared to knowing him, to knowing the Lord. And we want to know him. I don't want to just hear about Jesus. Amen. I grew up part of my life anyways listening to Bible stories about Jesus and never really knowing the Jesus that we were talking about or learning. And there's a difference between knowing about him and really knowing him. You must be born again. If you're not born again, you will not see the kingdom. You need to let God through the veil of your heart, and God will break through. But we need to cooperate with him in this process. You know, if somebody's not interested in your fellowship, then it's kind of vain to keep pursuing, isn't it, usually? We've all had people that we wanted to be friends with. I know I have, and I tried very hard to build a friendship. And if that other person was not interested, folks, it just doesn't work, does it? God is interested in us. He's interested in friendship with us, folks. Amen. Beyond the sacred page, I seek thee, Lord. My spirit pants for thee, O living word. We want to know him. Hallelujah. Jesus said, narrow is the way that leads to life, and there are few who find it. Most people are not going to heaven, according to Jesus' words. He said, wide is the road that leads to destruction, and many go therein. And he said another thing. He said, how difficult it is for a rich man to enter into the kingdom. It'd be easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle for a rich man to enter into heaven. And, you know, the disciples looked at one another and said, well, who can be saved then? He says, with man, this is impossible. With God, nothing is impossible. Folks, I want you to think about something. The eye of a needle. Have you ever looked at the eye of a needle? Ever tried to thread a needle? Sure. It's really getting harder, isn't it? But confined, small is the passageway that leads to life. And there are few who find that. And you know, the reason why I believe the majority, in fact, probably all people are in hell is because of pride. It's because of pride. God gives his grace to the humble, but he resists the proud. And see, people who have money, for example, this is just one of many, but Jesus used this one example, usually have a lot of ego or pride that goes with it. And it's not just about the money, because God will give money to people, because if he gives you money, it means that you have now a responsibility, a stewardship with that money, to be faithful with it. But pride is what keeps people from entering in the kingdom. Because I'm not going to obey God. Whenever I say, God tells, you know, if God tells me something and I say no, then I'm exalting myself above his will. So I am falling into the same trap as Satan. I'm exalting myself against the will of God and say, I'm not going to listen to what God says. People that go to heaven are people who hear God's words and practice them, who live what God speaks. It's not enough to learn about God. People are learning a lot about God, but unless we humble ourselves and come through that narrow way, that small eye of the needle, a little amoeba, what are those little amoebas? They could go through very easily, right? But, you know, King Saul, as long as he was small in his own eyes, he was king of Israel. It's when we get big in our own eyes that we fall. And when we're big, we can't pass through the narrow gate. When we're prideful, it means that I'm deciding my own fate, my own destiny. I'm saving myself by my own means, by my own ways. Even if that means that God says it's this way and I say, no, it's that way. We're puffed up in our own pride, our fleshly mind. And pride will always shut the door on entrance into the kingdom. people will go to hell because they refuse to come to Christ and bow their knee and forsake their sin because of their pride or because they're too concerned about what people think about them. That they refuse to bow because of their pride, the pride of man. You know, folks, we can hear 1,000 sermons, but we've got to get back to what did Jesus say? What did he teach us? How many know his word carries the highest authority? There's all kinds of stuff being presented on television, you know, in pulpits across America. So many false prophets, paycheck preachers, preaching for profit, you know, fleecing the flock. It's not about Jesus, it's about them. And you know, it doesn't matter if we're rich or poor, there are poor people that go to hell too because they refuse to bow their knee to Christ. We are not of those who fall back into perdition or shrink back, but we are of those who believe to the saving of the soul. The way up is narrow. The way into life is narrow, and there are few who find it. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am that way. So the devils will even acknowledge that, you know, the demons, but they tremble. So that doesn't, how many know demons are not going to heaven? They're not saved. We can acknowledge and say, yeah, I agree with that. Amen. Good preaching. Good word, Jesus. It's not enough. All of the pride of man is going to be brought low. Every mountain shall be made low, and every valley shall be filled. The message of this hour, folks, is repentance. We better repent of your sins. You better forsake the deceptive thinking that it's okay, I'm only a sinner, therefore I can justify my lifestyle because I'm only a sinner saved by grace. You're not saved until you repent of your sin. Repentance is not being sorry, by the way. That's the beginning. Salvation isn't produced because we're sorry. Salvation is a result of one who's sorry enough to forsake death and embrace Christ. Amen? To deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow Jesus. That's who the true disciples are. Those who find life are those who humble themselves under the mighty hand of God, who listen to the word of God, who obey. Jesus said, you know, a wise man is the one who hears these sayings of mine. And he puts them into practice. Let's get back to what Jesus said, amen, not what the preacher says. Oh, we've got this thing today where people say, well, say this prayer after me, blah, 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 and I believe you just got born again. Folks, without repentance, there's no salvation. Amen. Unless a man be born again, unless you repent of your sin, there is no mercy. There's only mercy at the cross. We are to die with him there. It's no longer I that Paul said that lives, but Christ who lives in me. Amen. Now, these are sobering words, but these are the words of Jesus. Amen. This is what Jesus taught. And there are many people who will not listen or sit or endure this kind of teaching today because they're going to go around and find somebody that will make them feel good in their folly. Are you hearing me? And yet it was the folly that we lived in, the sin that we lived in, that cost Jesus, amen, his life on the cross. How can we, as his people, follow any longer in that path of death when he has, by his own blood, redeemed us and brought us to himself? Are you hearing me? Broken the power of sin and the penalty. We're free in his name to live a life that honors God now. You see, cheap grace is the grace we give ourselves. That's all right. You're doing all right. What does God say about it? How about finding out what God really thinks? What does God say in His Word? Not what grace we give ourselves and say, you're doing all right. Well, at least you're not as bad as that guy with all the tattoos and, you know, and the Satan, the pentagram around his neck and stuff. Well, you know, if you're in rebellion to God, you're just as bad. It's the sin of pride that brought Lucifer down, not wearing a pentagram around his neck. Amen? As a matter of fact, those people sometimes come into the kingdom quicker. Because when they come in, they are transformed, they're changed, their hearts are changed. They say, I know what death is, and I know what life is, and I choose life. Amen? When Jesus healed the woman, He said, now go and sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you. He didn't say, that's all right, go on your merry way and just keep crawling back every week. He just said, no, go and sin no more. Now, Jesus wouldn't tell us to do that if He didn't give us the grace to do so. Amen. Are you saying that I'm perfect and that nobody, you know, there's not going to be? No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying that if you have a heart of repentance, a humble heart, as the man who beat his breast and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner, then there's justification. Amen. God will justify you. God will forgive you. And God will release you from that debt. But if you stand up, as some do, in your own pride and ego and compare yourself to other people and think, well, I'm not doing as bad as they are, so I must be going to heaven. Folks, that is a lie. There's only going to be few that find it. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will also be in the coming of the Son of Man. Eight souls in that entire world were spared. That ark represents Jesus Christ. He's the Savior. They came through the door, amen, into the ark. And God shut the door. You see, there are many who think, I have time, I can live my life in extravagance, I can live my life in lawlessness, I can live my life any way I want, and hopefully someday on my deathbed I'll get things right with God. Are you hearing me? That's a lie. It's pride, it's arrogance against the will of the Word of God. Well, today's message title is Order to Your Disorder. God wants to bring order to our disorder. How many know that He knows how to order things in our lives, right? Get things straightened out. We all attempt to do that, but we do a poor job at it. And there's one thing, folks, that we cannot do, and that is change our hearts. We need God to do that, right? And that's what He does. He changes us from the inside out. The world is good at patching things, painting things, working on the externals, the presentation of the body. Are you hearing me? But God works from the inner man, the inner beauty of the heart. He's purifying a people. He's making a people ready. I would rather have, like Jesus, 12 disciples, amen, that are sold out, that are faithful, than multitudes of people who are just lukewarm, lackadaisical, don't care. We want, and Jesus wants, disciples. Followers, people that have forsaken all to follow Him. When Jesus called the 12, they immediately, it says they left their nets, they forsook whatever they were doing, and they came after Him. And you know, Jesus already knew who they were before He called on them. He had spent the night before on the mountain praying. The Father had showed them to Him, and Jesus shows up, and He just says, Peter, you know, and Mark, and all these guys, He just picks them out. And immediately they dropped. Why? Because God had already prepared their hearts. In John 17, we see that Jesus had prayed not for the world, but for those whom the Father had given to Him. We are children of God today. Are we children of God? Are we truly saved today? Then Jesus is our intercessor. He prays for us. Amen? And He prayed for Peter, remember, even when Peter had failed, but He prayed that his faith would not fail him. He didn't pray that Peter wouldn't fall on his face. He prayed that his faith wouldn't fail. And then when he was converted, he was going to be able to strengthen his brothers. I don't know about you, but I appreciate the mercy of God. I need God's mercy. God has a way of protecting His people also from self-righteousness. And the word often is what does that. Amen. We hear the word and we're once again reminded of the only hope I have is to bow my knee to Christ and confess Him. Amen. And to confess my sins before God and turn from them. Amen. And God wants His people to be in a place where they are ready for His works. And you and I are not going to be ready for the true works of God until we are done with our works. When we're done with our works, then we're in position for God's works. I mean, no, Christians can be busy with all kinds of their works. I've been busy with my works, have you? But when I'm done with my works, I'm now in position for His works. So God is taking us through a process of elimination, of weaning out and weeding out things in our lives that are unproductive. In Genesis 1:1, it says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth, verse 2, was without form." The earth was without form. And that word form means a wasteland, desolate wilderness, worthless, or a place of confusion. The earth was a place of confusion, chaos. And it says, and it was void. And that word void means to be empty, a vacuum. There was a void. There was emptiness. There was confusion, chaos, and emptiness. And darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. In verse 3, then God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. Now understand, folks, this is prior to God creating the sun and the moon and the stars. That comes later, verses 5 and 6 through there, I believe it is. Okay, so the first thing that He says is what? Let there be light. And then what did God do? He divided the light from the darkness. So that was the state of the earth before God began to what? Speak to it. God spoke into the darkness and there was light. Now, I want you to hear something. I hope I don't lose anybody here, and I believe this is something we need to pay attention to. But someone may ask, and have you ever had anybody ask you, maybe ask yourself, where did evil come from? What is evil? Where did it come from? Well, I'm going to give you a simplistic answer to that. If I need to be corrected, then do so. But I don't believe I'm wrong by saying this. Evil is anywhere where God is not. Where He's not. When light comes into darkness, darkness flees. Darkness and light cannot cohabitate. So evil is anywhere where God is not. For example, an evil spirit or an evil person is someone who dwells in darkness. They live in darkness. That's what makes them evil. Because when we're separated from God, amen, there's evil. And so Christ brings us back into holiness, into life. When the Lord comes to dwell within us by His Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit produces holy fruit. If someone claims to be filled with the Holy Spirit or a follower of Jesus and produces bad fruit, they are lying. An evil spirit produces what kind of fruit? Yeah. An unclean spirit produces what? Uncleanliness, right? Evil produces evil. So if a person is filled with the Holy Spirit, there will be holy fruit. There will be a holy life. Amen so far? In God, there's no darkness at all because He's holy. 1 John 1:5, this is the message which we have heard from Him and declare to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we do what? And do not practice the truth. Do not practice the truth. Application. Faith without works is. And that verse 2, darkness was on the face of the deep. The word darkness, I looked it up, it literally means darkness. But figuratively, I want you to hear this, it means misery, destruction, death, ignorance, sorrow, wickedness, night, and obscurity. Those are the many meanings in the Hebrew. And so darkness, misery, destruction, death, ignorance, sorrow, wickedness, obscurity, were where? On the face of the deep. So this was the condition, again, of the earth before God spoke to it. Now, likewise, this is the condition of you and I prior to receiving the light of God's word. God spoke into the darkness, and what? There was light. When we hear the word of God, it brings light. The entrance of your word brings light. Amen? Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. So man, independent of God, lives in death. These very things, misery, ignorance, sorrow, wickedness, destruction. So God brought order to this disorder. Because light and darkness cannot cohabitate, God separated the two. If God was to totally remove his presence from the earth today, how many know that it would return to its original state? Even though we see a lot of evil in the world, I mean, we can watch the news, we can see what's going on. How many know there's still good in the earth? The glory of God is here, amen? His presence is here. He's what keeps this planet from exploding or imploding. So there is good, amen, amongst all the wickedness. So why are things so bad? Why is the earth in such turmoil? Why are there these things happening, the earthquakes and the wars and the famines and the pestilence, all the things that are happening, the diseases now that are coming out that they're scratching their head about? Why? Because where God is not, there is evil. Evil dwells in the darkness. And when mankind chooses to refuse the light of God's word, then he becomes that void or the vacuum that attracts, are you hearing me, wickedness or evil. See, the demons want to possess mankind, just like God the Holy Spirit wants us to be possessed in him. Amen? Of him. So, where there is rebellion towards God's righteous rule in our lives, then we give access or we give permission for the enemy to camp in that darkness. Because wherever God is not, amen, is evil. Is this making sense? As believers as well, as Christians, we're faced with choices every day. If we're going to bow our knee to his authority and say yes to the light or the word of God, or we're going to resist and we're going to go our own way. And whenever we resist the light, we allow the enemy access to the darkness that we maintain in our lives. Does that make sense? God wants his people completely, totally filled with his Holy Spirit. No part dark in us. No part. But it requires a humble and an honest heart before God to acknowledge my true condition before him, to be willing to confess and renounce the works of darkness so that I may walk in the light of Christ. This is the way, the narrow way, that leads to life, and there are few who find it. I heard somebody say fairly recently, and I've been repeating it quite often, I think it was even Terry that said it, that the church needs to be evangelized. I believe that's very true. I believe that there are many that flock into the church, even this day, that are flocking to churches everywhere who are actually on the wide path to destruction. And even the shepherds that get behind the pulpits are themselves leading the blind into the ditch. Because they are going their own way, doing their own thing, exalting their own name, promoting themselves, building their own kingdom. And it's not about Jesus. It's about my name, my fame, and my pocketbook. Because they know, and many know, that if they start teaching the truth of the Word of God, that people are going to leave. Because in this age of rebellion, amen, people don't want to hear the truth. And that's why Paul told Timothy to preach the Word. Amen. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke with all long-suffering patience. Amen. With one another. Amen. So that the time, you know, so that we could escape the snare of the devil, because the time has come, folks. The time has come when people no longer want to hear the truth. And folks, the best thing I can do for you is tell you what Jesus says. Amen. I can't help you, but Jesus can. There are many people that are they're flocking to churches and they're looking to the shepherd as the one who's going to somehow save them or keep them. No, the shepherd's responsibility is to lead the flock, amen, through the narrow way. Are you hearing me? Amen. We're the under shepherd. He's the great shepherd. And our responsibility is to point you to Jesus and say, listen to His word. Be strong. Listen to the voice of God. Don't listen to any other voice, but recognize, discern, know the voice of God. We need to know the voice of Jesus. Amen. And we need to follow only His voice, because there are many voices and many people are running to destruction because they're following after all these shepherds. In many cases, they esteem them in the place of Jesus. That's Antichrist. The reason we see so much disorder today is because either people are ignorant to the truth or they're unwilling to receive the truth. Only the truth will set you free. And that's why the enemy is able to create chaos in the empty places or in the void, as the earth at one time was void. So our hearts are like that. Our hearts need to be filled with the light. Amen. We know, we look at our nation today, and there's so much filth on the television set. We need to have a television baptism. I'm just shocked at the stuff that's. And how many Christians sit at home and watch this garbage? How many would agree there's a problem if our conscience doesn't bother us about the stuff that's being propagated today? Amen? We've got children's books. We've got children's games, video games, computer games, that are totally wicked and demonic, and they're all about demons in the dark. And where is the discernment? And we're allowing our children to... And God help us. Some of them are, they're blatant witchcraft. And I've been shocked how many times I've said, listen, that stuff is... It's damaging. It's destructive to your child. I wouldn't let them read that or watch that or play that. And how many parents will get upset with you? Christian parents. At least they call themselves that. How can we, who have the Holy Spirit in us, approve of something unholy for our children? There must be some discernment. How many know that if the Spirit of truth is in you, then He opens your eyes and begins to reveal truth to you, so that when you see stuff, it's like, there's something wrong with that. How many know that we can even greet somebody and be talking to maybe a brother or sister or somebody who claims to be, but you know, you're talking and they're saying all the right stuff. They got all the Christian jargon down. They can quote scripture. They're saying all the right stuff, but in the spirit, there's something wrong. We need discernment of spirits. Amen. We need the Holy Spirit to reveal to us His heart and what's really going on, not on the outside, but underneath the surface. Because Folks, people can get in the pulpit and they can preach an awesome, wonderful sermon, oratorical masterpiece. Are you hearing me? And yet be preaching from the wrong spirit. And what you're really going to receive, folks, is the spirit by which you sit under. You ever noticed? And that's why there's such a great responsibility on anyone who teaches others. There's a greater judgment, and we need to fear God. You ever noticed if you've been in a church for a while, you kind of just pick up each other's personality? We've got a personality here. People come in, they'll recognize it right away. And hopefully it's Jesus they're seeing, right? But you also see that people that have been under a certain pastor for a long time begin to even show, they begin to look like or sound like or talk like that pastor often. Have you ever noticed that? I have. I've seen that. Now, understand this, that it's not the person, but it's Christ that we need. The pastors are just what? Vessels through whom God speaks. And so my desire is that I hear from God and I speak what God speaks. Amen? That's going to produce life. Not that I put together some fancy sermon, blow you away. Well, I can't do it anyways. I'm not even smart enough. With my oratorical skills, but I want to hear from God and I want to be speaking what God is speaking, because that's life. His word is life to us. And so you can speak what God says in the Bible. You can teach the Bible. And yet if that spirit is not in agreement, are you with the word, then you're going to actually not benefit from that. How is it that you can listen to a sermon from one preacher and it was like, awesome. It was life-giving, you know. It stirred your heart. Even when you were corrected, you just felt like, this is good. And then you hear another one where they said all the right things, but it was completely dead. There's no life in it. That's right, because they don't have the Holy Spirit. You see, sometimes people think that I just go to school and I get an education, or I just continually learn, or listen to all the tapes and all the videos and whatever, and they get a lot of knowledge or information. But if you don't have the Spirit, the Holy Spirit is the one who teaches us. You have an anointing from the Holy One. Amen. An unction. Let that same unction, let that same anointing teach you. Jesus said, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled." We cannot be holy unless we allow the Holy One to fill us. If a person claims to be filled with the Holy Spirit and lives an unholy life, they are what? They're lying. 1 John 1:6 says, "If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth." Now, in order for us to escape and avoid this chaos that Satan wants to create in our lives, we must be filled and we must remain filled with the Holy Spirit. And we must be willing to yield to the Word of God. In Luke 11:24, Jesus said, "When an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places seeking rest, and finding none, he says, 'I will return to my house from which I came.'" Luke 11:25, "And when he comes, he finds it swept and put in order." How did he find it? Swept and put in order. I'm going to know that you can come to Jesus and get cleansed. Amen? But that's not enough. Remember the 10 lepers. There was 10, right? All of them were cleansed. Only one returned to give glory to God. How many know that he was the one out of all of those who got cleansed who was justified in the sight of God? Amen? So this house can be swept and clean. And sometimes people will come to church and they'll be in the atmosphere and in a moment or they'll just begin to say, God, just forgive me and cleanse me. And he does. But folks, unless we're willing to yield ourselves to the will, to the purpose, to the authority of God, unless we're willing to submit ourselves to God's instruction for us, to listen to what Jesus said, then we're not in position for the Holy Spirit to fill us. Until our hearts get into obedience, you're not going to be filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will not dwell in an unclean temple. And you know what? If you get cleansed and you don't obey the word of God, then you're an open target for the chaos to come in. And that's right. Even seven more wicked than himself. Why? Because the enemy knows that if I gang up on this person, it's going to be even more difficult for them next time to get free. Folks, there is a place called perdition or destruction. There's a word called apostasy in the Bible, and it says that there's going to be a great apostasy before the coming of the Lord, amen, before even the revealing of the Antichrist. And I believe we're living in a time of great apostasy where people are falling away. And Paul told Timothy that some will depart from the faith and give heed to seducing spirits and teachings or doctrines of demons. And folks, this is going on in the church. There's some crazy, crazy stuff going on. There's a cheap grace gospel, but there's also all kinds of stuff that's going on in charismatic circles that is totally demonic. And people, if they don't have the Holy Spirit because they're in rebellion, they will be sucked into the same deception, because wherever there's pride, amen, the Holy Spirit will not go there. And if a person chooses to go their own path and refuse to listen to what God clearly teaches us in His Word, then we give permission for the enemy to come and torment us. If a person refuses to forgive somebody, then you give permission for the demons to come and torment you. You see, wherever there's a void, that's where darkness is. That's where chaos can dwell. There should be no voids in us. Jesus said, the devil has no place in me. No place. Are you hearing me? How many know that God made it possible for you and I also to live in such a way that the devil has no foothold, no place in us? As a matter of fact, those who know their God, he will stay away from. When he knows you're an easy target, when he knows he can beat up on you, when he knows all it takes is a little pressure and you'll bow and you'll cave into that sin, then he's going to keep attacking you and he's going to bring in the big guns and say, boys, let's go get them, because they're weak right now. They're staggering between themselves and the will of God right now. They're fighting. And if there's a resistance to the Holy Spirit, that's what the enemy's going to go for. He says, there's a void right over here. There's sympathy towards evil right over here, boys. God said, be holy, for I am holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. You're not holy unless you're possessed by the Holy One. Amen? And he cannot dwell in a temple that is unclean, or in the places that we refuse to yield to him. And God says, hey, I don't want you to have any of this. Have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness. Rather, expose them. And that's what we're doing today. So he finds it swept and put in order. And then it says the latter, or the last state of that man, is worse than the first. 2 Peter 2:20 says this, For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them, listen, and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than, having known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil walks around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Verse 9, resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. I want you to hear this, folks. When we resist sin, it means that you're going to suffer. But you don't have to suffer forever. When we're in battle, amen, it gets heated, it gets difficult. There's resistance. There's opposition. There's pain involved. And yet it's not forever. There's a season of that. Amen? And then God comes to the rescue. And when your enemy is defeated, he's defeated. After you have suffered a season or a while, God's going to establish you. And so the difficult thing is in the evil day, and we all are faced with these evil days, are we not? That we need to learn how to stand. And we cannot stand, amen, if we're full of ourselves. We cannot stand based upon my own ability or my willpower. I can only stand in the power of the Holy Spirit, because I humbled myself before God and allowed Him to completely possess me. Amen. And when I'm full of the Holy Spirit, the devil has no crack, no place to get in, no place to mess with me. Amen. He's going to try all kinds of things to distract you, to pull you away, to open the door, just to give a little sympathy to the devil. Wherever there's that weakness that we're unwilling to submit to God, or wherever we just justify what we do and say, well, I'm only human, I'm just a sinner. How many know that that's wrong thinking? I believe that's from the pit of hell. When somebody says, I'm only human, I couldn't help myself, that's from the pit of hell. Why? Because God gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not saying that we don't make mistakes. We all do. We sin. If we sin, we have an advocate, thank God, with the Father. Amen. We can come to Jesus and confess our sins. But repentance means that I'm sorry enough to stop what I'm doing. I'm not living that life anymore. A truly repentant person is one who is entering in through that narrow way. There are few people who truly enter into life. That's what Jesus said. And we have to humble ourselves to get there. We have to come down off the throne of our own lives and let Jesus be Lord now. People say, well, He's my Savior, but He's not really my Lord. He's neither of them. And some people think this God just kind of winks at those things. Oh, no big deal. The big deal is that Jesus went to the cross because of sin. God hates sin, and God doesn't change, amen? And if we're His people, if we have the Holy Spirit, that Holy Spirit will tell us that sin is repulsive. It's ugly. I hate it. I don't want anything to do with it. Are you hearing me? And when we blow it, immediately we want to run to Jesus. We run to the advocate. Oh, Lord, thank You for Your mercy. Oh, Jesus, I need Your grace. I need Your help, Lord. I can't do it on my own. I need Your grace. Lord, cleanse me from my unfaithfulness. Blot out my transgressions. Purge mine iniquities. Lord, fill me with all of You. Amen? So I give no place. Yield not to temptation. Amen? Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. If he knows that you mean business, you're not backing down, you're not giving him an inch, he's going to pick on somebody else. He will. He'll just say, well, boys, we're wasting our time over here. This person is obeying God no matter what. They have submitted themselves to His authority. They're not listening to us. So let's go find Joe over here who's compromising. Let's go over here and find Joe Christian, who's a good churchgoer, faithful tither, you know, sings in the choir, whatever the stuff is. Let's go pick on him because Joe's just kind of punching the clock, you know, on Sunday morning, and he's doing his church thing for Jesus. But Joe is really not about Jesus. Joe is full of himself. Joe just wants to live his life the way he wants it, when he wants it, how he wants to do it. It's not about Jesus' lordship at all. Joe is his own Lord. And so therefore, where he's resisting the Spirit of God, there is a void. And boys, right here, we can continue to take Joe deeper back into that place where he once was, that was full of chaos. It's called backsliding. Colossians 3:5 says, put to death the sinful earthly things lurking within you. Have nothing to do with sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires. Don't be greedy, for a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of this world. Because of these sins, the anger of God is coming. You used to do these things when your life was still part of that world. or this world. But now is the time to get rid of anger, rage, malicious behavior, slander, and dirty language. Don't lie to each other, for you have stripped off your old sinful nature and all its wicked deeds. Where do we hear this being preached anymore? Where he's being very specific about these things. You know, there's so much of the health and the wealth and the bless me club going on, you know, today. Call it easy believism. Do you know when we come to church, it shouldn't even be about us. Whatever I do for Jesus should never be for me. You know, God has dealt with me about this. Because sometimes we do good things because it makes us feel good. But folks, when we do for Jesus, we should give him the whole offering. It's not to be about us and how I feel. Amen? I've discovered if I come for Jesus and I come for other people, amen, I come to bless and not just to come and receive. I come to give. When I come with that attitude, then I'm completed. I'm fulfilled. Amen? I'm fed by him. Because I'm seeking the kingdom of God above everything else. Romans 6:12 says, therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lusts. And this is how we do it. It says, do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. You see, God doesn't accept anything from the old nature. He doesn't accept anything from my old self. And you know, people are doing all kinds of good deeds out of the Adamic nature, and yet God does not receive it. You know what God accepts? He accepts the fruit of the Holy Spirit. He only accepts the new creation. He accepts the fruit of the new life in Christ Jesus. Some people, they think, well, if I do good things, then God will bless me. No. God only accepts the fruit of the Spirit, not our works of righteousness. Are we hearing his voice? Are we hearing what he says to do and do those things? See, that's what matters in eternity. And all some of the stuff we do, folks, it's not bad stuff, but it's wood, hay, and stubble. It's not going to last. You can spend yourself doing all kinds of stuff, but if it's not God's will, it's all in vain. What we want is the will of God, the heart of God, the mind of God, to know what is the will of the Spirit. When we follow him and walk with him in the Spirit, amen, then we do the will of God. Not only are we completed and fulfilled and satisfied with his presence, amen, but it will also benefit us eternally, amen. But when we've served the Lord, we're not serving him with an agenda for what I can get out of it. Come on, Jesus deserves the glory. Jesus died on the cross. Jesus paved the way. He paid the price. He deserves all the glory. Get yourself out of the picture. Be selfless. If any man wants to come after me, let him. Let's get back to what Jesus taught. Amen. What did Jesus say? Not the comfortable American Christianity that requires no cross. It's all about bless me. Come on, folks. I've decided to follow Jesus. And you know, if my heart is right and I'm following him for the right reasons, he does bless me. But I'm not in it for the blessing. I'm in it for him because I love him. Lord, you've done so much for me. What can I do for you? Based upon all the mercies of God, amen, all that he's done for us, let us present our bodies to God as living sacrifices, Romans 12:1. We give ourselves now fully to the service of God. To live for the Lord is our desire, amen? Luke 17:10, listen. Jesus talked about servants coming in from the field after having worked. Does he sit down at the master's table and the master serves him? No. He says, go get my dinner, right? First serve me. Likewise, when you have done all those things which you are commanded, say. This is the attitude, listen, of believers. This is our attitude. Say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done what was our duty to do. Folks, heaven is enough. Being in heaven with Jesus. Amen. Living forever with Him. Now is our time to serve Him, not with an agenda, not for what I can get out of it, but what I can do for my King. How can I please you, my King? How can I bless you? How can I bring a return to you for all that you suffered for me? This is the way of the cross. This is the truth, folks. This is the way of truth. And this is the way that many are not going to find because of pride, because they're not willing to let themselves go. They're not willing to trust God with their lives. In other words, we love our lives unto the death. But Jesus said, if any man will lose his life for my sake in the gospel, you'll find it. I find my life in Him. How about you? He completes me. I love being in church. I love being with God's people. I love praising the Lord together with God's people. I love serving the Lord and I love serving God's people. Amen. And it completes us. It satisfies us to do so. Amen. And what we think that we're going to be losing, you'll find you really didn't want. In the areas where we think, I can't let go of that. I'll give Jesus this, but I'm not going to let that go. It becomes an idol. And in those places where we're resisting the Spirit of God and we're refusing to bow our knee to His Word for us, are you hearing me? Is the very place where the enemy can camp out and hold you captive and produce chaos in your life. That's why it's so important for us to listen to what God says. And when I say listen, you know what I'm talking about. It means I listen and I obey what God says. These are the sons of God. Those who are led by the Spirit of God. These are the sons of God. Amen? Not those who are self-willed. Not those who give God pocket change and do a little this and a little of that and do some good works because I feel good about doing it. No. Those who are His followers, His disciples, are going to be His bride. They're going to be, amen? They're precious to the Lord. If we decide to listen to what God says and what we've heard today that you know is God speaking to you and you obey Him, you'll never be disappointed. You'll never be ashamed. You'll never be put to shame. But if you say, I don't want to hear any more of that kind of stuff, then what you're doing is you're giving license for the enemy to continue his chaos and eventually bring you to destruction, because there is a narrow way that leads to life and there are few who find it. I don't know about you, but I choose the narrow way. I choose the way of the Lord, the will of the Lord. And everything that's crooked in my life, I want to be made straight right now. Amen? So I'm getting it into order. Say, God, if there's anything that's out of the way, if there's somebody I need to reconcile with or forgive, amen, if there's a sin or a secret sin that I need to renounce and forsake, God, I'm doing it. I'm getting everything that's crooked out of the way. I'm making a straight path because that straight path is the way of life. Amen? For the Spirit of God to be able to come and to possess me in fullness, amen, so that the chaos is out and the order comes into my disorder. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.